Welcome to Alex's Dynasty, a daily podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and we are diving into a rundown here of the running backs with our off-season tracking stuff here. So I talked about doing this, and I procrastinated, and here I am. We're doing it. So, all right, we're going to do a quick rundown here, some of the confidence stuff in terms of the HHGs. So this is like a third-parter, I guess. This has been basically kind of something I've been updating here throughout the off-season. All right, so Dallas, I think it's pretty clear. Zeke, starter. Tony Pollard, backup. High level of confidence. I think it's a high-value offense. Pretty much all we have to say there. Next up is Minnesota. I think the situation's pretty clear as well. We have Dalvin Cook as the starter. We have Alexander Mattison as the backup. Both those guys conceivably could be on one-year deals. Cook a little bit more complicated than that, but Madison certainly can be a free agent. Ngonwu and Ty Chandler backups there as well. So high level confidence in terms of the ordering and a high value offense as well. Detroit, this one I've struggled with a little bit in terms of the value of it. So I think it's Jamal Williams is the clear injury away guy to DeAndre Swift. I have high confidence in that. I put a high value. I think this offense could be pretty good. Could be sneaky good. So I put a high value on that. If you wanted to sort of say of the teams that I think have high value, like this could be a little bit lower of one. I could get like this might be closer to the medium value line than the high value line. But again, I think that they do a pretty good job with their running backs there. So I like the situation there for Jamal Williams if he were to be the starter. All right, next up is Green Bay, and we've got Aaron Jones, and he's the clear starter. Pretty clear to me that, again, this could be a committee plus type, right? We could nitpick, but I'm not going to. He's the starter, and Dylan's really the backup guy there. Again, I'm not super, super interested after that at present. You know, that might be more of a 40-man roster, something like that on a Kylan Hill. But someone asked me, like, 28-man roster, am I keeping Kylan Hill? I'm not. High-level confidence, high-value offense. Denver, committee plus situation? I did a tweet, thread, I guess. Talking about some of the confidence the market has in Javonte Williams. Listen, I question some of the ceiling. I think Gordon's not just putting Gordon away isn't going to happen. Right? That just doesn't. We've made this mistake before, right? You make the mistake of just saying, hey, the veteran, you know, the established veteran is just going to go away. I think we do that at our own hazard. And I would say, too, like, I think the dynasty community is particularly good at this. It's like, hey, we kind of know what's going to happen and being super confident about it. And where I think we should be a little bit less cautious and honestly, like, just assume that teams are acting with some rationality in their personnel decisions, right? Like, are we bringing back Melvin Gordon just to sit him on the bench? Is that what the pitch was? Or was it like, hey, you know, we're going to sort of phase in Javonte Williams a little bit more, but you're still going to have a role and, you know, this isn't, you're not just going to be a pure injury away guy. I mean, that, I don't know. That I would be, and if they were going to go that direction, like if that was the direction that they were going to go, is Melvin Gordon the person that you're going to do that with? In terms of bringing back an injury away guy, you know, at basically, you know, he's $2.5 million basically, fully guaranteed as well as the contract. So again, it's, I think you could go much cheaper ways than bringing him back at that cost. So, that's just my thought there with him. I have a little bit less, and honestly, that's backed up by the market. The market's not super confident in him either. So that's really my question there with Javonte Williams' overall volume ceiling. All right, next up, and again, I like Melvin Gordon as an injury away guy. I think that goes without saying. Okay, next up is the lower. So this is the Chiefs, and I have them with a high amount of confidence in terms of the pecking order. It's a medium volume situation. medium value situation, excuse me. The concern that I have, so Clyde Edwards-Helaire is struggled a little bit in the passing game. So does Ronald Jones. They haven't been standout pass catchers. And I just, as a system, I'm not sure that they're going to get a ton out of that. No matter who's the backup, right? Between the two of them, right? If Ronald Jones like manages to overtake the job for Clyde Edwards-Helaire because Clyde Edwards-Helaire is hurt, I don't think he has a high level passing game volume either, right? So I sort of have I'm not super, super gung ho about the situation. That said, I think that Ronald Jones could actually win the job. Right, so that's the thing there with him. I but again, what's the payoff? And I keep going back to like is Damian Harris 2021 with like a running back 14 finish with leading the league in touchdowns, is that a high watermark? And is that like the best you could possibly conceive from Ronald Jones? I think it probably is. And if that's the case, like I don't necessarily think it's super reasonable. Like that almost has to have a Kelsey injury in there, right? Like you have to think about like how that happens. Just that red zone volume and the like there. I'm skeptical of that as being a high value situation, but that's basically, you know, I think overall the offense could be good, but I don't know if it's like mega starter good. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if it's league changing good. Like, I don't know if Ronald Jones has the Daryl Williams type outcome in his range of outcomes. I don't think this backfield probably does outside of Clyde Edwards-Helaire really making a huge breakout. All right, Jacksonville, and this is an interesting one. I think Etienne's going to be a starter. I have a medium level confidence on Robinson as being the injury away guy. And that's strictly the injury stuff, right? I just want to see what his injury status is there. And I think it's a medium value situation, right? So that's kind of my take on him there. I think it's Snoop Connor, it's Armstead back there as the third. That'll be a camp battle we'll want to watch, would be the third situation there, because I think with guys behind two injured guys coming back, right, there's enough uncertainty that you just want to keep an eye there. But I think Etienne wins this job, and I think he's got a pretty good shot, and it's a good confidence, medium confidence there in both the value and the certainty that it's actually James Conner. Okay, the Jets, and high-level confidence in Breece Hall being the starter, high-level confidence that it's Michael Carter being an injury way guy. Again, what's the split? Like, I think I say that with the statement of, I think over the course of the season, I think he's going to be the guy that's going to have a lot more, workload, right? I think Hall's over the course of the season, it's going to be the 60-40 guy, 65-35 guy, something like that. It might not necessarily start that way, but this is more of the season-long projection that I would have for them. And then I think Carter's an interesting injury way guy. And could he have some standalone value? Like, I've seen people be pitching kind of his receiving, profile a bit as being some standalone value. That's something I think we should watch for and maybe adjust towards as the season, nears and goes along to see how that really works. I wouldn't buy camp battles as much as I'm going to buy like early season snap touches and stuff like that. That could be an adjustment situation. Okay. Baltimore is next up. Medium confidence in terms of the pecking order. Again, that's injury. I do think it's a high value situation. We've seen them score. But I wonder if it's not like just a different version of the Chiefs, right? Like, is there going to be a passing game breakout guy there? But we've seen with some of the rushing touchdowns, I just think the rushing touchdowns get you higher than maybe the Chiefs could. But ultimately, I could talk myself into it being a very similar situation to the Chiefs in terms of their value and their ordering. All right. Next up is New Orleans. And I do think, they could save money by cutting Mark Ingram. Tony Jones is there. You know, that's, you know, they've got Divine Osigbo. They've got a bunch of guys that haven't really done anything, have sort of been on this watch list before. They do have Abraham Smith. Abram Smith, I should say, not Abraham. Abram Smith. I do think there's a if we get through this offseason and it's Ingram the lead guy, but ahead of Tony Jones, I'll probably move this up in confidence. I don't have it in terms of highest value, just because I'm not sure what this offense is going to look like. If it's going to be the run-heavy centric thing that was last year, not quite as confident in terms of the overall ceiling as we've seen in other years. All right, the Patriots, I'll say this. Harris and Stevenson, I think, are the 1-2. You've got a whole bunch of guys after that. And Harris is going to be a free agent. Medium confidence in the HHG. I think it's Stevenson. I would bet it's Stevenson. I probably don't love this bet as much as some of maybe the other ones. You know, I think I'd rather take a shot. You know, I'd much rather take a shot on a guy like Madison than Stevenson, for example. I think I'd rather take a shot on like a Brian Robinson than a Stevenson, like, even if it's a little bit. You know, I think Robinson's gonna be cheaper mostly, and there's some question about, you know, is he purely an injured way guy? You know, McKissick and all the way. I just think that situation could consolidate a little bit better for some other guys across the position. You know, even a guy like Perine, for example, that situation consolidates better in Perine than it necessarily does Stevenson. You just keep going down and you look at some of these situations, you're like, I don't know. Like, again, and I love Ramondre Stevenson, the player. I just don't know how the situation consolidates that well into him. So I'm having them a medium. Listen, Harris led the league in rushing touchdowns. They're second in the league in rushing touchdowns at 15 last year, right? I mean, that has value. And especially if he were to get hurt, that could consolidate into Stevenson and all of a sudden, like, it's really good. The question is like, all right, like, who's going to backfill Stevenson? Like, who's the next Stevenson in that equation? That's the only problem I have there. Again, I think it's probably some value in terms of elevating Stevenson a little bit in this context too, because he is a potential injury, or he's a potential starter in 2023. Miami, and this is a lower level one for me. I had them as a medium confidence one earlier on in the season. They brought in Michelle. They brought in Mostert. Right? They've got Chase Edmonds as well. I don't know overall. Like, I've downgraded them both to low. They were both medium, and I've downgraded them both to low, just because I don't know. Like, if we go back to the San Francisco offense, it's good. It's a good offense. The running back production has been actually a bit lacking in terms of what you would expect based on the name. And given how this situation unfolds, right, with the players in it, Michelle's not a guy that has a big capitalization type of situation. I don't think Mostert is either. I have a lot of questions about how this backfield's put together, and I'm probably not, like, it's worth a chip later on. But I think in terms of the hierarchy of how these guys are, I've downgraded them just because I don't have enough certainty to make that bet. And I'd honestly rather make a more certain bet in an offense that I'm not super, super convinced in an offense that at least I have a better idea of than this offense that I'm not super convinced that we have a great idea of. All right, Washington's up next. The aforementioned Brian Robinson backing up Antonio Gibson. I have a medium confidence in both the value and the ordering. I think Brian Robinson is going to be the injury way guy. I just like to see it a little bit before we sort of put a high confidence on that in terms of how his, how his training camp goes. McKissick takes a little of the ceiling off of that, so that's really the situation for a medium value. U of the HHG. Next up is Vegas, and you've got Josh Jacobs, Zamir White, Kenyon Drake, Brandon Bolden there backing up Josh Jacobs, Amir Abdullah there as well. So we'll we'll have to see how that whole situation gets kind of sorted out there. I think Drake's good for the contract there. Zamir White is maybe an injury way guy. I think I have confidence that Zamir White is going to be the injury way guy, just because Drake hasn't really proven to do that. And the volume, like we've seen that, we've seen the rushing ability of the McDaniel offense as well. This offense could be really, really good. And so I've got them both as a medium there. Okay, next up is Chicago, and we've got David Montgomery. Backup is Khalil Herbert and a whole bunch of guys after that. I want to see the situation there, how it sorts out. I think Herbert could be one of the better ones, but doesn't have a ton of pedigree. So I reserve that high value, but he could be kind of pressing on the higher value of these guys there overall, or higher confidence, I should say. The value situation's a little bit more dubious. We don't necessarily know how this offense is going to look. There is a question in terms of some of the passing hierarchy, priority, and the like there. So I'm questionable about some of that stuff in terms of the overall value of the offense. But again, I think Herbert showed well as a rookie. Okay, next up is Cleveland, and I would have this higher. I do think it's a high value situation. I would have it higher in terms of confidence. However, Kareem Hunt has a cuttable contract. I'm not sure what they're going to do in terms of the quarterback position backing up Watson, right? If they, there's a lot there, right? They might need to free up some salary and move on from a pretty high cap hit for Kareem Hunt if they don't like the solutions in-house, right? If there's a Mayfield trade, you know, I've seen them speculated with Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't think it's going to happen. But, like, there's enough there that I think that that number for Kareem Hunt probably is going to have to come down. Otherwise, I would just be surprised if he plays at a $6 million cap hit this year. That'd just be surprising to me. And that gives me a little bit of lack of confidence that he's going to be there. And that's at Dearness Johnson, right? You've got Jerome Ford there as well. So they've got a pretty good backup core. Dearness Johnson graded out really well last year as well. So he's one of the RB3s that I'm holding strongly at this point, just because if something happens with Kareem Hunt, Dearness Johnson could be one of the best guys on this list. All right, next up is the Rams. And, I think it's Darrell Henderson going to be the backup to Cam Akers. It's a medium value situation. I mean, I think it's a, this is the Ravens offense with LAPR is really what the Rams offense is for running backs. It's not that great. Right? It's running centric. Don't do a ton of the passing game. And that caps the situation a bit for Akers. And I don't think the overall mega hit for Henderson's probably going to happen in an injury way situation overall. So medium there for both guys. All right, Cincinnati, Mixon, P. Ryan is the backup. Feel confident in that. Actually, Chris Evans on a small sample, really small sample last year, was like excellent. So he's a name to watch for. I don't think he's going to profile as a pure injury way guy, though. But like if you're thinking, you know, guys running back threes, 35, 40 man, something like that, he's an interesting one to take a peek at. And medium confidence both there. I probably could bounce up P. Ryan even higher to a high confidence, but we'll have him there for now and then potentially make a move later on. Singletary is the guy at present. I'm putting him there as the primary starter. Let's put it that way. I think Cook is the medium confidence. Again, rookie, let's see it. Let's see how that goes. I don't necessarily know the order of those things. Like if you told me you wanted to put James Cook as being the lead guy in Buffalo right now, like I could see that too, but I put the veteran there for that purpose. Again, we'll see. I think Cook could really draw out some value in this offense that hasn't had anyone to really highlight it to date. So that would be, I think, something that's possible, but I wouldn't get super I'm excited about Cook. I don't think it's a sure thing that he's going to transform this offense in terms of being some more passing game stuff for the running backs, but he's definitely going to do it in a way that's, I think, better than Singletary. Let's put it that way. All right, the Chargers are next up here. Again, I have a pretty good confidence that it's going to be Spiller as the backup guy. I do think that, like, I have, it's a medium confidence, but I think he's better than the other guys on the roster. That's a medium value situation, and I could honestly see both being higher. But let's see how this thing settles out and what the true split is going to be in terms of the value of owning it. But again, Spiller is not really treated as an entryway guy in the context of which we treat him right now, you know, overall. All right, there's some but other situations down the dial here that we lack some clarity in. We don't lack clarity that Barkley's a starter for the Giants, but Breida, Brightwell are guys that are backups there. I'd suspect that they are a team that is in the running back backup market here in the offseason. That would be my hunch. So I'm not getting super heavy on a guy like Breida yet. I'll take some occasional shots here just to try and ramp it up, but those are small dollar shots at this point, just because I would be surprised if that's what they actually roll with going into the season. Miles Sanders next up for Philly. I'm intrigued by him. Boston Scott and Kenneth Gainwell are the two guys there to watch for. Scott's been excellent in the red zone. So for what that's worth, he's been valuable in there, and that would be a spot that you could potentially really maximize his situation if he's the guy. But between him and Gainwell, I'm not sure we have a great feeling on either of those two guys at this point. Kennedy Brooks is a free agent there as well, maybe to keep an eye on over the training camp as well. All right, Houston next up, Damian Pierce, Marlon Mack, Rex Burkhead, Royce Freeman. Low confidence, low value. I think it's a split, and I'm not sure how it all unfolds. Just leave it at that. Indy, Jonathan Taylor, got a high confidence in him. But Nyheim Hines, Tyson Williams, you got Deion Jackson, more of a special teamer. They do have Phillip Lindsay as well. I got no idea what they're doing at the backup running back situation. Again, I think I do think that Tyson Williams was actually better than given credit for last year, and he actually graded out pretty well, but was not well received there. He didn't age well, I guess. He wasn't like a fine one. He did not age well there, so we don't know necessarily what that is, and it would gives me a little bit of pause. But again, we're looking cheap shots. I think he's an interesting one to potentially take a peek see here if he's on your free agent wire or something like that. 1%, 2%, or a 1%, you know, $1, $2, something like that. I'm fine doing that here over the offseason to take that shot. Next up is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Haven't had a ton of clarity here. Benny Snell is an interesting one, who hasn't done a ton. There's been some talk about potentially trying to work in some other guys there, so we'll see how that goes. Anthony McFarland's also on the roster. Mateo Durant's a popular UDFA right now. So watching this situation, don't have a ton of clarity on it overall. But it's I think a low value situation, and a particularly with the players that are in it at present. Elijah Mitchell is the San Francisco starter. They have Jeff Wilson. They've got Ty Davis Price. They've got Hasty. They've got Sermon. It's a medium situation. Again, I talked about, I think this, the talk is higher than maybe the, talk of this running back core is probably better, or this running back situation is probably better than it truly is. And I don't have a ton of clarity there. So I like taking the pedigree bets on these guys and just figure it out later on. But I don't have a ton of faith. I'm not making a ton of bets on Jeff Wilson, for example. Next up is Seattle. Rashad Penny, Kenneth Walker, right? Like, I could put either as a starter and either as the basically injury way guy. The questions behind those two are really Chris Carson and his health. DJ Dallas as well could be a potentially interesting third guy there. So I have low confidence in necessarily the order of which those guys are going to be starters or backups. But I have a medium confidence that this is going to be at least a run heavy type team. Arizona, I think that this is a situation that's actually gotten an upgrade with Darrell Williams, and he's going to be working in there with Benjamin, Keonta Ingram as well. So we'll see there in terms of how that goes. I know Benjamin has gotten a big push from the team of being, oh, like he's this new guy. Darrell Williams is not easy to put away. So let's just leave it at that with him. James Conner's in a good situation there. I have a low degree of confidence in the order of these guys, but I have a medium confidence in the situation overall. So the value of the situation. So I do think this is a situation that bears monitoring. I want chips in a chair on Darrell Williams, on Eno Benjamin, and Keonta Ingram's probably rostered in your leagues, but I'm just making sure I'm scooping up any rogue shares that are out there for those guys. All right, Tampa Bay. I don't have a ton of confidence in terms of how this situation backs up. You've got Keyshawn Vaughn, you got Rashad White. Probably should have more faith in Rashad White than I do. I'm going to put him as a low. I'm going to put him as a medium situation there with the other guys. I'm not feeling great about how that situation works in with Bernard if there was a Fournette injury. So that's my question there with those guys. So I'm going to go medium confidence on White and then a medium value or medium upside score there with the situation ultimately. I do think if Bernard's washed, if Vaughn's not any good, this could be a Madison type situation overall. Atlanta, I don't have a ton of confidence in terms of Damian Williams, Tyler Allgeier, Kadri Allison, the like there. I do think Cordarrelle Patterson's a starter, and this could be a medium value situation. We've seen them get some production out of running backs, going back to Tennessee and last year with Atlanta in some different forms. So interested there, but I don't have a ton of confidence. I do think Damian Williams is probably worth a shot if he's not rostered in your leagues at present. And the last one up here is I don't have a ton of confidence in it either, although Deonta Foreman's getting a big push for out of the league. Seeing him getting some push from some folks here on the interwebs. So he's one that making sure that he's out there. I don't think Chuba Hubbard is just going away at present, but I have seen Foreman getting some bump, and there's some talk that they didn't necessarily like what they got out of Hubbard last year as well. So we'll see how that unfolds. It's a low confidence certainty for me just because it's a muddled situation, frankly, and I'm not so sure how this offense is going to be. So I have it as a medium value situation as well. So, all right. So those are the situations there, again, on the HHGs, and updated the chart with the podcast here, so you can go take a look at that over on the website. I'll throw the link in the show notes. So until that'll do it for this episode, and until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.